You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com, and we're back with another wave of free agent analysis. We have more to talk about. We talked about the wide receivers and the big blockbusters there. We did a whole show on Antonio Brown, then we had Odell Beckham Jr. and that trade to the Browns, leading off our show, looking at all the wide receivers. Well, finally, we have some running back movement. We told you we were going to wait till we had a few more backs signed behind Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets to break down that position for you. We'll spend most of the time here looking at Le'Veon Bell and Mark Ingram here, the two big signings there. And then the rest, there's some notable ones as well. And then we did have a couple more wide receivers that happened as well that we should discuss. So plenty there to catch you up in free agency. There a few moves that notable that kind of adjust to things that we saw already happen early in free agency with the wide receivers. So we'll talk about those as well. So let's start with looking at Le'Veon Bell as the marquee running back on the market ends up with the Jets here. And this one's pretty easy in terms of what we think his value is going to be. He's the lead back here. They have Isaiah Crowell cut on the news of signing Bell. They also have Bilal Powell as a free agent. Eli Maguire, we know we've liked him in the past as a fantasy sleeper, but blow that up. Right now he's going to be the backup to Bell. That makes a lot of sense. He's a versatile young back, so he's the guy that would probably spell Bell here, so they don't need the other two backs for sure. Crowell was quickly released after the Bell signing, and this is a good high upside offense here. They're trying to improve their offensive line. I think that's the one thing they're going to have to look at in the draft to keep upgrading there. That's the one question mark there, but we know overall this Jets offense has a lot of upside going forward. Sam Darnold as your quarterback, Robbie Anderson and Quincy Nunua, and now Jamison Crowder as your wide receivers, and Chris Herndon, don't forget about him at tight end, being a factor. So this is a pretty interesting offense, especially when you factor in Adam Gase is taking over as head coach and the offensive guy behind it. So all that said, I think Le'Veon Bell had to weigh his value here. I don't think he's necessarily going to be what we saw with the Steelers when he was healthy and active, being that top three pick there. There's just a lot of young backs have entered the league that have been monstrous. We talk about Saquon Barkley as a potential number one pick. We look at Christian McCaffrey and what he did. I think at this point, given their youth and their establishment in their offenses and less question marks as there's no transition and we're not worried about the offensive line and maybe some offensive kinks with a young quarterback, I think Bell is still obviously a strong RB1, and he's going to be a first-round pick as we've shifted back to running backs being the hottest commodity there in fantasy football. So overall, you look at Bell, and I think just maybe a notch below where he was with the Steelers just a couple of years ago. He's a little older at this point, so when you balance things out here for Bell, I think he still lands as this pretty strong RB1 because of the volume alone, and you have guys like Todd Gurley that go in with a few question marks with knee injury and maybe lightening the workload there. So that's how you balance out Bell. We know in PPR that is golden for him as well because he's going to catch a lot of passes in this offense. Sam Darnold dump off still. You see Robbie Anderson and Inunua. You have one field stretcher, one kind of guy that's going to be a possession guy, and Jamison Crowder throwing the short passes there to him in the slot. But overall, I think Bell is going to be very busy, and they didn't pay him $13 million plus a season to just not be the focal point of the offense. He will be that. They want to get back to playing the gritty defense with Greg Williams, play off that here, And looking at Adam Gase's MO from the past, it was frustrating, definitely, in Miami, because he had Jay Ajayi there, then you had Kenyon Drake, and then Kenyon Drake mysteriously didn't see a lot of touches, and you had Frank Gore being worked in there. But in the end, Kenyon Drake was a very productive fantasy back, even with the touch fluctuation there, and I think Bell's going to be a steadier force here for Gase in New York. So Bell, again, RB1 solid. I would put him maybe in the second tier of RB1s right now, just because of all the youth at that position that we're liking the upside there. So, you know, in that 6 to 12 range, but still pretty good. And I think as we develop and we feel better about this Jets offense in the offseason, I think Bell could climb up a little bit more among those guys as well. Now, we look at the other back that was the marquee signing was Mark Ingram. He only gets $15 million over 3 years, but again, he's an older back. He's a timeshare back. But he goes to the Ravens, and this is a really good landing spot for Mark Ingram. The Ravens, even without Ozzie Newsome as their general manager, still like Alabama guys. And you look at Mark Ingram here, stepping in a great situation because he had Alex Collins had the off-field trouble. They had to release him. There's no Buck Allen here re-signed. They haven't shown any interest in bringing him back yet, or Ty Montgomery. Maybe one of them they will is the change of pace receiving back. They have Gus Edwards in there. Gus Edwards did some good things. He saved some fantasy seasons down the stretch running in conjunction with Lamar Jackson, but Gus Edwards is just a limited back. He's a young back. He's just a plower straight ahead. Well, Mark Ingram, we know, has a little bit of wiggle, can finish, has that power. We know that the Ravens are looking for, but he also has that pass-catching ability that's a bit underrated, can get to the outside as well. So I can see why Mark Ingram wanted to do this. He wanted to break from the Alvin Kamara kind of combination and cash in. This was his best chance to cash in later in his career. It's a first-round pick there, and really kind of got rejuvenated and ran well here in the past few years. He was looking pretty lean for him for a while, but in a way that Kamara's presence kind of got Ingram revved up again and into a big-time producer, especially in taking over games, closing out games. And the Ravens, I think he's a great fit there because this team's going to run the ball a lot. Let's see what they do at wide receiver, but they said goodbye to Michael Crabtree and John Brown after only one season. They've got a couple tight ends there that they're going to look at, Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews. They took high last year, and Mark Andrews is a good receiver. Hayden Hurst, they hope that he's fully healthy and blocking. This is a pretty good offensive line still with Marshall Yanda and others. So great situation for Ingram. I think he's a high-end RB2 in this system because they are going to run the ball a lot. I think there's still going to be some diversity, and they're going to have another back in here, not give Ingram 25 touches. I don't think he's that type of back at this stage of his career, and he's not going to be as effective. We know that. I mean, sharing with Kamara. So even in that case, we knew he was a pretty good RB2, and I think that kind of stays intact for Ingram's value here, given the situation being very favorable to him. And now, on the flip side of that, is Latavius Murray is going to be the new Mark Ingram because he signed a 4-year, $14.4 million deal to join the Saints. And this was a good move by Murray. He was clamoring for a chance to be featured somewhere, but you know what? Being in a backfield on a very good offense with Alvin Kamara, helping up to change the pace, you'll take that any day. And Murray probably said, I'm a little bit like Mark Ingram. I've got that power. I can have a burst at times. I can finish drives. I'm more versatile than people think. So I said, why not go to this situation where I'm going to be effective and productive and a key part of what the Saints are doing there with Alvin Kamara. So overall, you have to say that Murray landed in a great spot here. I think if you look at Ingram's value, I think that's what you apply to Murray here going over to the Saints. And with Ingram, you apply what you saw from Gus Edwards and Alex Collins, kind of combine that into the value. So there's some precedent there. It always helps when teams make parallel moves for guys that have similar value and talent to their offense. And that what you saw with Ingram and Murray and then coming in behind Bell. So you got two guys with really nice RB2 potential, Ingram and Murray, and Bell with the RB1. So we'll talk about some more running backs here in the next segment. But first, I got to tell you, NFL free agency is full swing. You got the NFL Combine in the books. That means our NFL team-by-team podcasts are hotter than ever here on the Locked On NFL Network. They're bringing you the best insight and information, up-to-date, constantly talking about developments with the teams. These teams are changing very fast, and the best way to keep up with that is by listening to our shows here. We've got you covered with the inside analysis, guests, interviews, everything that you need to know about your team, how it's kind of formulating for the 2019 season. So check out those shows, as well as, of course, our two draft shows here, Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes, brought to you by the Draft Network. A lot of good stuff there. Listen to the sister podcasts, and you'll be totally super informed, the smartest guy or gal out there in the off-season realm of the NFL. We'll be right back here to look at the rest of the running back signings and how they affect fantasy football. All right, we've got some more running backs to talk about. There's not too much there, so we'll transition to the rest of the wide receiver. But you look at Tevin Coleman, and this one was a little bit disappointing because he ends up with the 49ers. So we could do a whole essay kind of on the 49ers and where they're headed. But 2 years, $10 million for him maximum. That means that's not a lot of money, and we're not sure about the future of Jerick McKinnon and Matt Breida. I mean, I figure they're leaning towards getting rid of Jerick McKinnon because they signed him. It didn't work out. He tore his ACL. They're done with the guaranteed money with him. And I look at it as Matt Breida, he played through the ankle injury, kept playing and playing and playing. It was frustrating ankle owners, but it showed, I think, Kyle Shanahan had a lot of toughness there, a guy that they can keep in there. Jerick McKinnon, good change of pace back, but the durability issues are there. And we know how much Kyle Shanahan likes Coleman from their days in Atlanta together. I think now he breaks free from Devonta Freeman. So I think Coleman kind of bet on himself here to say that he knows this offense backward and forward. Shanahan is a guy that trusts him with the ball. He's an explosive back. He can give them everything that Jerick McKinnon did, but also give them some of what Devonta Freeman was giving Atlanta as well. So I would guess that's how it's going. Some people are looking at it as a big three-headed monster between Coleman, McKinnon, and Breida. I mean, I just don't think you can trust McKinnon to come back healthy. Breida had a share of ankle injuries. These are smaller guys for a reason that are not meant to take the pounding. Coleman has been a high-volume back in his days in Indiana. He comes from a timeshare, so he's fresh as a young back here. We know he has some pop. We know he can finish in the red zone. He can help in the receiving game. So this is a good developing situation for Coleman. So I think right now it's a wait-and-see approach, but I think you mildly go as a back-end RB2, but this could develop into something a lot bigger than that, given the roles that he could have. So Tevin Coleman ending up there in San Francisco is a little complicated, but you look at the track record and his history and what he could produce, I think you're looking at Coleman in being a great spot to merge. And Kyle Shanahan, just like his father Mike Shanahan, the backfields can be very frustrating for fantasy. It can change in any given week. We saw a guy like Raheem Mostert come out of nowhere and do some things. He was a special teamer, and he's going to be around. So they're going to have to make room for him on the roster because they love him, and he's a good key asset. I know he's coming off an injury as well. But so that's also complicating things where they're not going to keep all three backs, and it's going to take probably McKinnon out of the equation because Coleman they just paid, and the Breida they really like, and that's how I see that kind of playing out. So I'm excited to see if Coleman can end up closer to that borderline RB1 status based on volume, but right now safely somewhere in the midst of the RB2s. Now, other pickups said we're waiting for Jay Ajayi and TJ Yeldon to find some homes here. We're not sure exactly where they're going to land, but this concerns about them. So this wave of running backs has kind of gone slow. Mike Davis, this is not totally insignificant. The Seahawks guy, he was behind what they did with Rashad Penny there and Chris Carson, but he was still valuable and had his moments. And the Bears notably have not signed another back. We thought they could move on from Jordan Howard. We thought they might look at Kareem Hunt more before the Browns picked him up, or Le'Veon Bell before the Jets signed him. But right now, Mike Davis might be an option here in the 49ers backfield. I just see him as a backup more. They are losing Benny Cunningham. But this, the development here is that we're going to look at Jordan Howard and Terry Cohen. Are they going to try to move on from Howard? I don't know if they are at this point. That was a rampant speculation. Maybe Cohen is more the guy, and it's a Cohen-Davis type backfield. So all kinds of weird things in the Bears backfield, and something that we're going to monitor for sure. Now, Adrian Peterson re-signed with the Redskins. That means they're keeping a little bit of insurance, maybe not 100% sure that Darius Geis is going to come back strong from those ACL injuries. So Peterson, of note, he's going to be your handcuff to Geis at the very least here. Carlos Hyde, the Chiefs signed him. Right now they're very happy with Damian Williams as the lead, and they haven't been too aggressive. But Carlos Hyde's a power back they like, so we're going to have to watch that one as well to see if things go towards Carlos Hyde. And Frank Gore signing with the Dolphins. He signed there because his old buddy, and emphasis on old, LeSean McCoy was already there. But this is just hard to fathom here. Chris Ivory is in this backfield. Chris Ivory's got some mileage, and he's pretty old in his own right. So this is not the most appealing Bills backfield. The one good news I'll say is they upgraded their offensive line here with Mitch Morse, Spencer Long there, and Ty Neschke. So these are guys that can really help the run blocking. I think they'll go after another offensive lineman in the front. So Frank Gore, we know, just plug and play and play and play. And these two guys, McCoy and Gore, just don't seem to age at all here. So it'll be interesting to see how they split up this backfield. But again, Gore is going to cut into McCoy, and he might do some more than Chris Ivory at this point doing that. So as far as the other running backs, it's been a very slow market. As I mentioned, T.J. Yeldon looking for a home, Spencer Ware looking for a new home, C.J. Anderson hasn't got much attention. We'll have to see if Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin are in the Raiders' plans. It doesn't look like it at this point, so they could be going after a running back in the draft. So all kinds of things to look at there as we go forward, and just a whole bunch of backs that probably are not going to find homes. And at this point, we'll see if Lamar Miller or Jordan Howard, one of those guys, gets into the market. But as for now, I mean, some pretty clear-cut situations here, but not too much shakeup overall in the landscape of fantasy football here in terms of running backs in free agency. Now, as we're giving all this analysis, keep in mind, a great way to listen to our shows here on the Locked On Network, especially the show Locked On Fantasy Football, is in the car. That's right, driving around, smart speaker, perfect bite-sized for your commute here, 25 minutes. You've got your analysis, you're good to go for the day here, wherever you're going, whether you're going to work or just going from point A to point B during the middle of the day, we've got you covered, and we'll make you the smarter sports fan here. And everyone is consuming podcasts in all different ways, and we're thankful for that. So listen to the car. Check it out. It's a new way, and everyone's getting on board with that, with the cars getting smarter and smarter, and the way to listen becoming easier and easier. So check us out any way you can, and if there's any feedback you have for the show, please send it our way. We're always finding ways to improve our content delivery to you here on the Locked On Network. We'll be right back here to look at some of the wide receiver updates from last time we talked about them with the Odell Beckham Jr. move. All right, we'll close the show with some wide receiver signing updates. We talked about the guys like Adam Humphries and Devin Funchess before, Jameis Crowder as well, signing as a slot with the Jets, and the disappointing combination for the Bills there in John Brown and Cole Beasley. But we do have a couple movers. Golden Tate here. I do like what happened in the Giants' recovery from Odell Beckham Jr. They signed Golden Tate 4 years, $37.5 million. So it's a good landing spot for Tate for sure with no Odell Beckham Jr. You have Sterling Shepard, so he's obviously going to start. It'll be interesting to see how they line these guys up because they're both known for some slot work, but they're also pretty good outside receivers. At this point, they have to be outside receivers. I think what is going to develop here is the Giants use a lot of two wide receiver sets and Evan Ingram out there at tight end as your third receiver to have that blocking presence as well for Saquon Barkley. So the targets are going to be pretty streamlined here. I think the way it'll probably break down is Barkley is going to be clearly the number one target coming out of the backfield and consistently touching the ball there. And then I would say it's going to be a more even split than you think between Shepard and Tate. And Ingram is not going to be far behind. So they're going to simplify this offense. This is the kind of perfect passing game that you want for fantasy football, where there's not too many mouths to feed, very similar to last year. I mean, we're not going to say Tate is going to go out there and produce like Beckham. I think it's going to be a little bit more spread around, where you'll have Ingram and Shepard and Tate all producing pretty well here. So right now I would say going into the situation, Eli Manning, quarterback, helming is a little bit of a concern here overall. But when you look at Tate versus Shepard and Ingram, I think they'll all be involved as well as Barkley. So Barkley's, you know, still the lead dog of everything the Giants are going to do here. The blocking has been improved for him. The way they're running their offense, moving Beckham out of this mix and making Barkley the focal point and the superstar in this offense, there's all reasoning behind it. So he'll be the man here. But do you look at Tate and Shepard and Ingram? Again, pretty streamlined. That's what you want to see. And I think Eli Manning is going to just play better. When you look at some of the things, maybe the pressure to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. is gone. Golden Tate's a scrappy guy that gets open underneath. Shepard as well is a good route runner. I think these two guys are more technically sound than Beckham. Beckham is more explosive, and he's going to give you more touchdown potential. But individually, I think the distribution between Tate, Shepard, and Ingram is going to be pretty good here for the Giants, and that's going to be good and more understandable for fantasy football. And we'll see if they go after a receiver in the draft. I think that's less of a concern here because, again, this team, I don't see them running a lot of three wide receiver sets going forward. They've kind of made it clear they want to be a power running team first. So I think that could cut into the volume of these three guys, is that the running offense of this Giants team could be 55% or so, and it's 45. But again, you're not throwing in a whole bunch of extra random guys because they're really their wide receiver pool really drops off pretty quick. The next best guy is Corey Coleman at tight end. They have Scott Simonson, who they re-signed, but that's about it there that are going to be involved in the passing game in New York. Now, a couple other moves we'll talk about. The recovery move for the Steelers for losing Antonio Brown was Dante Moncrief. That's a pretty good spot for Dante Moncrief. They weren't thrilled with the James Washington last year, and Ben Roethlisberger was disappointed with him a lot in practice, the rookie from Oklahoma State. We'll see if he gets a little bit better, but I would say Moncrief has the inside track now to start consistently, see the consistent snaps with the Juju Smith-Schuster there. So Moncrief landed a good spot, leaving the Jaguars. We'll see what the Jaguars do at wide receiver for Nick Foles. That opens up an opportunity there for a rookie in the draft, so we'll see. But I think Moncrief stepped in the best possible situation for him as he tries to build on the great promise he showed in both in Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. And finally, the move of note we'll talk about is Tyrell Williams going to the Raiders, crossing over in the old AFC West here to go to the rival and work off Antonio Brown. This is a great situation for him as well. So if you look at Juju Smith-Schuster setting up what Moncrief can do, same thing Brown in a completely different place now as they've separated, has Tyrell Williams as his tag team running buddy. So Tyrell Williams is a big play receiver, and that's my little concern with Derek Carr and the arm strength, pushing the ball downfield a little bit. We'll see if they change quarterbacks here, the Raiders. So if that happens, if they go out and draft a rookie and find a way to dump Derek Carr or trade him, then Tyrell Williams has a little bit more appeal. But right now, Williams, we know that the Chargers, he's teased a lot. He did have Phillip Rivers there. So that's going to be the thing we're going to watch here. If we're going to trust Tyrell Williams as a wide receiver three, they moved Jordy Nelson as well. So right now, with Jared Cook being a free agent, you're looking at a total reboot of the way the Raiders are doing their pecking order with Derek Carr. So Tyrell Williams right now has some wide receiver three upside. So does Dante Moncrief that you look at. But Williams, we want to see him do a little bit more complete. I think Moncrief has shown a little bit more complete play here because he's a good red zone finisher. Williams has been more of a deep threat. So all kinds of things. We have to see the chemistry with the new QBs as well. That's something you always monitor with free agent quarterback wide receiver combinations that have occurred. So overall, I think I like both of those moves for those two players and for those teams to give a guy that fits a profile that can be productive in their offenses. Finally, we do have to mention the Patriots got busy with a few slot receiving options, Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris. Maurice Harris really showed some things with the Redskins, so I'm going to watch him carefully. We know that still Julian Edelman is there, but Edelman plays more outside than you think, and Harris is versatile as well. So there's a void there, obviously, Josh Gordon situation. They did tender him as a restricted free agent, but they don't know when he's going to play, so we'll watch that. Any move that the Patriots make at wide receiver, it's been a gaggle and a mix of unpredictability there, but Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris, just for the fact that they went to the Patriots, we'll be watching that carefully. So there you have it. There's a look at your running back signings and led by Le'Veon Bell and Mark Ingram, and catching up on the wide receivers led by Golden Tate and the true second wave of NFL free agency. So thanks so much for listening to this breakdown, and we'll have more coming next week. I have a new mock draft up at Sporting News as well, so check that out today. And we'll break that down more from a fantasy football perspective, the Giants, Browns fallout there and all that good stuff. And we'll have more free agency to talk about there to start next week. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.